Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Welcome to our monthly celebration of the Lord's Supper, the time when we remember our God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice on our behalf that gave us a so great salvation, a time for us to express our gratitude for all that he has done for us and all that he is doing for us. For all that he has already put in place for our future. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says this: the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us. Excuse me. The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the Mosaic law, having become accursed for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Cursed is everyone who hangs from a cross. Imagine that you committed murder. You were arrested, you were found guilty, and you were ready for sentencing, knowing without question that the death penalty was to be the judge's only recourse in your case. And right after you are sentenced to die, a man steps forward and says, I will die in your place. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. If he had not agreed to become your substitute, to stand in the place where you would have been standing, if he had not agreed to shed his blood, to die for you, you would have no hope. You would have no recourse. You would spend eternity in the lake of fire. Because God's response to sin is always wrath. Yet the Lord redeemed you from the curse of this death penalty. Redeem means to buy out of slavery. The Lord purchased you out of slavery to the Mosaic law. Why did he do that? Because he did not want you to be imprisoned. He wanted you to be free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, it was for freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ set us free. Therefore, keep on standing fast in the freedom and don't ever again be entangled in the yoke of slavery. Freedom is the essence of life, and it is paid for with blood. The Lord Jesus Christ paid for your freedom with his blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 say, knowing this, that you were not redeemed, believers in Christ, with perishable things, like silver or gold, from your futile way of life that you inherited from your human forefathers. You were not purchased with money, things that perish. 1 Peter 1:19, but you were redeemed by means of a ransom payment with precious blood, the blood of a lamb unblemished and spotless, thus completely and uniquely qualified, the priceless and precious blood of Christ. As believers in Christ, we are not to take lightly that which was paid for at so high a cost. And it is a pleasure for us to honor the Son of the living God daily, especially during our Lord's Supper celebration, for making the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf. The opening song, When the Stars Burn Down, by Phillips, Craig, and Dean.
Stars burn down and the earth wears out, and we stand before the throne with the witnesses who have gone before. We will rise and all applaud, singing blessing and honor, glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing. take us up to his side, and forever we will be his. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to ever.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for the right of self-determination, freedom. And thank you for making us know through your Word that the only free choice is complete agreement with you in all matters. Encourage us on our journey down the narrow road and help us to know that complete dependence on you is the safe choice and the only choice. And help us to get to know our Deliverer, God the Holy Spirit, who is the one leading us into all the truth. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. Today's Lord's Supper celebration, freedom is not a prison. Freedom is not a prison. Freedom is the essence of life, and it is paid for with blood. The Lord Jesus Christ paid for our freedom with his blood, and there are men and women standing on a wall today saying, nothing's going to hurt you today, not on my watch. And they are protecting our freedom and standing at the ready to shed their blood on our behalf. 42 million men and women have served in the U.S. military since the country's inception in July of 1776, and nearly 2 million of them have paid the ultimate price for freedom. They gave their lives as a substitute for us. So we celebrate this month's Lord's Supper. And as we do, we honor those who protect our freedom, those who are prepared to reflect the same sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made for us at the cross. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, the Lord Jesus Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross so that we might die to the sovereignty of sin and so that we might live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. On July 4th every year, the people of the United States of America celebrate freedom. It's important to me as a pastor, and it's important to this congregation to honor those who protect us. And since we weren't here last week to celebrate, we'll do it today. Not all who protect our freedom die. Some are severely injured protecting us and are so debilitated by their injuries that they have to live with those injuries for the rest of their lives. And that's why we have a ministry to veterans, to go visit those people who have been injured and to let them know that we care about them just as much as we care about those who have laid their lives down. And so we honor them as well today. Those who serve in the military are brave. Those of us who live in the United States live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Yet freedom is being protected throughout the world, and we salute today those who stand for might, those who stand for right, those who embrace freedom and who reject slavery, no matter the country of origin. And we celebrate our allies then as well. Let's listen to excerpts from one of the most beautiful documents ever penned by a set of brave men who were willing to die for freedom, the Declaration of Independence. And I know that those of you who are young and who are in school, you get to hear the Declaration of Independence, and maybe it's just words to you. And those of us who have been in school, we've heard the Declaration of Independence, and maybe it's just words to you, but these weren't just words. These were men who were standing for a principle, and 239 years ago, this country became a country because of what they were willing to do. And they were clearly the Davids in a David and Goliath situation. And they stood up and penned these words, some of the most beautiful, romantic, and wonderful words ever written. The Declaration of Independence in Congress, July 4th, 1776. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish this government and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the form to which they are accustomed. Powerful, powerful words. Man is much more likely to live in a prison than to free himself from the prison. We are much more likely to live in a prison than to free ourselves from the prison. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces the design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, in fact, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. And after the candid facts are presented in the declaration, the evidence, the declaration continues. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress. They have asked that that Great Britain would right the wrong. And we petitioned for redress in the most humble of terms. And our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to this voice of justice and consanguinity. And we must, therefore, acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, to conclude peace, to contract alliances, to establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Imagine putting yourself as a few men up against the most powerful country probably in the history of mankind, Great Britain, and penning those words and sending them. Powerful words from powerful men who were brave enough to stand up for a principle called freedom. So happy birthday to the United States of America. Happy birthday to freedom. And now let's take the offering. We're going to welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall in just a moment. And we want you to know that we appreciate your gifts. And because the Lord provides you with a way to be generous, you get a chance to give of your treasures so that others can benefit. There is no greater expression of the unconditional love of God than giving. And we appreciate the sacrifice you make to keep the doors of Barah Ministries open, making available a place where people can hear the Word of God taught accurately, free of charge, and in freedom. So let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. We are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God. We choose not to exercise that right. No price appears on any material from Barah Ministries so that anyone who wants to learn about God can do so free of charge. Even though the materials are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate your much-needed financial support so we can continue to share the Word of God with the hearers God provides. So please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. So I've been thinking a lot about the Holy Spirit maintaining us in this world as we live through people that are legalistic and people that are lascivious. And I was trying to think of the best way to kind of explain that scenario in a non-biblical way, and it hit me in traffic. Nobody hit me, but the thought hit me that that's what you experience as you're driving, is you're almost forced to deal with people, even though we don't necessarily want to. You have to either compromise and let them in or speed up and not let them in. And you see a lot of people. You got the people that abide by the rules and don't cross the center line. They use their turn signals. And you got the opposite. You got the people that swerve across three lanes of traffic because they missed their turn, and they U-turn in the middle of the street, and they just do the exact opposite of what the letter of the law states. And you see so much revenge. Why are people so hateful on the road? as if they own part of the road, or they own that space in front of them. You know, a neighbor of mine drives around all the time. He owns his own company and installs appliances. And so he's on the road a lot, experiences a lot of different driving mishaps and woes and experiences with people. And he has kind of, you know, in order to get back at people, he's kind of established this new thing. He'll throw his lunch at them. So he'll throw an apple core or half a banana or maybe a ham sandwich because it's not hurtful. It won't damage a car. Well, the other day didn't have anything soft, so he threw shelled peanuts at a car. And apparently the car had passed him on a two-lane road, and he had to hit his brakes to let him in. So he passed him back. They passed each other back and forth till they hit a light. And at that light, he threw the peanuts, thought he could get through the next light. He didn't. So the guy pulls up right behind him, gets out, and he's a beast of a man, probably 6'5", 250 pounds, and starts pounding on his trailer. And Mark's just in his truck, oh, God, what did I do now? You know, I should have done the right thing. Just let him in, and you wouldn't regret it. But you do the bad thing, and you instantly regret it. It's like instant karma. So anyway, the guy comes up to the side of the truck, pulls a broom out of his truck, snaps it in half, and is going to start to grab some other things, but traffic starts honking at him, and the light turns green. So he was saved from the incident. But you think about it, when that traffic incident comes to you and somebody needs to get in, what do? Do you let them in? Are you a blessing in their life at that point, and you let them in? Most people don't. Most people speed up, you know, and they get in the way of the other people. And that's what the offering is today. It's your chance to be a blessing for other people's lives in that same way you do in traffic when you let somebody in. So a verse came to mind, which is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, which is make aware of the people that are lazy. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another evil for evil, but always seeks that which is good for one another and for all people. So think about yourself. If you wanted to be let in, you would let them in. Let the people in. And so in the same way, give as you can out of your time, your talent, and your treasure. And Pastor mentioned something in the earlier lesson that made me think about, you know, if you're an introvert, giving the gospel to people is the best thing you can do, right? Because they're going to reject you and never call you again. Therefore, you'll be able to stay at your house all by yourself. If you don't have family, if you have family you don't like, maybe just give them the gospel right away. They'll spit in your face and you'll be done with them for a while. So anyway, thank you for all your donations to this church and to God's ministry. We always appreciate it. And God bless America.
Welcome back to the Lord's Supper celebration. Freedom is not a prison. Freedom is not a prison. Okay, note to self, get Deacon Denny's driver's license revoked. Does anybody other than me think we should keep Deacon Denny out of a car? Amen? Well, you do some of your best thinking in a car, huh?
That would be all. I
don't do that. No, I don't. I just shoot people. You know, in Arizona, you know, you can carry firearms as long as you don't conceal them. So somebody starts messing with me, I just show them my gun. And it cleans everything right up. They let, oh, go right ahead. They let you in. So I highly recommend that. It'd cut that whole traffic light thing to cut right to the chase. So the Lord's Supper celebration, freedom is not a prison. We are walking prisons. We are walking prisons. We're born into the prison called in Adam. And those of us who are saved, because we have faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, we're freed from the prison of in Adam, and we're placed into Christ by God the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit. Yet we love going back to prison. We love taking our prison bars and going everywhere we can and seeing how we can impose our prison bars on the situation, forfeiting our freedom. In her book, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, Maya Angelou, a famous author, chronicles the struggle we all face to be free in light of the fact that we live in Satan's kingdom. And here is an excerpt from her work called The Caged Bird. A free bird leaps on the back of the wind and floats downstream till the current ends and dips his wing in the orange sun's rays and dares to claim the sky. But a bird that stalks down his narrow cage can seldom see through his bars of rage. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. How often we place ourselves into prisons. The free bird thinks of another breeze and the trade winds soft through the sighing trees and the fat worms waiting on a dawn bright lawn, and he names the sky his own. But a caged bird stands on the grave of dreams. His shadow shouts on a nightmare scream. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. After a short break, we'll enjoy the Lord's Supper elements and hear a few important things about freedom.
On high, I will praise him.
the Lord's Supper celebration. Let's enjoy the elements. Following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work, the voluntary sacrifice he made at the cross on our behalf as our substitute. And we are grateful for what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, "For I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me.'" When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say, "In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after supper, representing his death on the cross, saying, 'This cup is a new testament forged with my blood. Keep on doing this celebration, and as often as you drink it, do it for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink the cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" As you enjoy the bread and cup, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. Enjoy the memory of the freedom that he provided. Now and always, the Lord's Supper song reminds us to keep on giving thanks.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, "I am strong." Let the poor say, "Because of what the Lord has done for us." And now let the weak say, "I am strong." Let the poor say, "I am rich." Because of what the Lord has done.
Supper celebration. Freedom is not a prison. Maya Angelou chronicles the struggle we all face to be free in light of the fact that we live in Satan's kingdom. She says, "But a caged bird stands on the grave of dreams. His shadow shouts on a nightmare scream. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing." You know, I lived in the ghetto, and that's a cage. It's a cage that you don't ever think you're going to escape from. And everybody is telling you while you're in the cage that you're never going to escape. They throw the statistics at you. You know, a friend of mine told me, and I think I've related this to you, that there was less than 1% chance that I would ever get out of the ghetto. But I've always thought that I was going to be the one in a million. I've never let things like that get to me, because I always saw freedom. And I remember 8 years old being the significant time in my life where that concept got through to me, that I had something within me that would allow me to experience freedom. And there was something in me that let me know that I was not going to be trapped in the cage, the prison. But while I was in the prison, all I could do was sing. And I looked for inspiration in song. I know why the caged bird sings. But caged birds also dream of flying and of flight. There have been a lot of people, I think I've probably taught well over 100,000 people in my career on 5 continents and over 30 countries. And so I've met a lot of caged birds. I've met a lot of people who have forfeited their freedom. And it's been funny to be in their lives and to be opening their cages and pointing to the sky. And some of them were so hard to reform that I gave them an assignment. And the assignment was, I want you to go to a cemetery, and I just want you to walk around, and then I want you to come back and tell the class what you saw. And I remember one young lady in Dallas. For her, it was a very profound experience, and she came back, and the report was amazing, and it completely flipped her mindset. And what she learned is that every person in that cemetery had dreams. You know, the last 7 years of my mom's life, I got to be in retirement homes, and I got to watch people. And these were all people who had dreams. They were young. They were thinking that they were invincible at a time in their lives. They were thinking that they were going to conquer the world. And then life happened. So as my daughter goes off to college with her wide eyes, she can't wait to get rid of her parents and to be on her own. But she's not on her own, is she? She's not on her own. There's still going to be somebody sending the check. It ain't going to be her. She ain't on her own. But I know that feeling. It's the feeling of a caged bird who wants to see what the sky is like. It's a person with dreams and a vision of what their life is like, and living with their parents is not the vision of the life that's ahead. And some of us have gray hair, and we know that there are more years behind us than there are in front of us. What's happened to our dreams? Because when you have gray hair, you're told that you should stop dreaming, start being realistic. Although I've always thought a person with nothing to lose should not ever be realistic. And if there are more years behind you than there are in front of you, then you should go for it. So we're reminded not to let our dreams die with us. And that's called freedom. Freedom is the scariest thing that man can experience. Because there's nobody to blame when you embrace freedom. And there are a lot of people who have embraced freedom, and when they saw it, they ran back to prison. Henry David Thoreau said it this way: the mass of humanity lead lives of quiet desperation. There it is. The mass of humanity lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them. That will not be my legacy. I have sung my song, and I have not sung my best song yet. My best years are in front of me. How about you? Or is it to be your legacy that you lived a life of quiet desperation and then you died, never answering the tough questions? What's your purpose in life? Who are you? Where did you come from? Where are you going, and how will you get there? And balking every time you hear the tough question. Is that to be your legacy? Because Galatians 5:1 says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep on standing fast in the freedom and don't ever again be entangled in the yoke of slavery. And when you can't answer the tough question, when you refuse to answer the tough question, when you get the tough question, what's your purpose in life, and you go inside and then you let that question fade into the background and you busy yourself with activity, you kill yourself and you kill your freedom. And my question is this: when will you be ready to live your freedom? What is it that you do to kill your freedom? What are the little prisons that you create to live comfortably in, all while killing your song? Walt Whitman penned it this way: oh me, oh life, of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish, of myself forever reproaching myself, for who more foolish than I and who more faithless? Of eyes that vainly crave the light, of the object mean, of the struggles ever renewed, of the poor results of all, of the plodding and sordid crowds I see around me, of the empty and useless years, of the rest, with the rest of me intertwined, the questions, oh me, so sad, recurring. What good amid these, oh me, oh life? Answer, that you are here, that life exists, an identity, that the powerful play goes on, that the powerful play goes on, and you may contribute a verse. What will your verse be? We who love prison go our whole lives without answering the question, oh me, oh life. It's time to answer that question. What will you do with your freedom? What will your verse be? Let your verse be free. Let your verse be something that you are willing to shed blood for. Let your verse be what Christ wanted it to be for you, because that is what Christ wanted for us when he went to the cross. He wanted us to be free. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep on standing fast in the freedom and don't ever again be entangled by the yoke of slavery. Don't ever again seek to imprison your dreams. Dream dreams. Some men see things as they are. I dream things that never were. And some men see things as they are and say, why? I dream things that never were and say, why not? Realistic is the worst word that you could ever use. What did Christ want for us at the cross? Freedom. Thank you, Lord. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ are guarantees. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Jesus said to doubting Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the word of God. I am the Zoe life, the resurrection life, the eternal life. And no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. He who believes in the Son has the Zoe life, eternal life. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life. Instead, the wrath of God, the Father, the lake of fire, abides on him. Closing song, Born Again.
But now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Once under condemnation, now I have been redeemed. Once in the dark, now in the light, because I have believed in the death and resurrection of the Christ who set me free. I have been born again, born again. I'm a new creation, born again. Was once an enemy of God, now Jesus calls me and I cannot be taken from my Father's mighty hand. I know I've been forgiven of each and every sin, because I have believed in Christ who died and rose again.
Grateful Heavenly Father that you gave us spiritual life and that we're born again, and we thank you for making that possible by sending your Son to take on the form of true humanity, humiliating himself on our behalf. We just are very grateful that you went to the cross, that your Son went to the cross and laid down his life and shed his blood so that we could live. And every chance that we get, especially during the Lord's Supper, it's always a great thing for us to just stop for a moment and reflect on how blessed we are to have that blessing. And we just pray that you bring that thought to our minds at least once a day of how lucky we are that someone considered us worthy of dying for us. And help us to remember to pass along that blessing to everyone with whom we come in contact. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.